Hello and welcome to On Sacred Ground on the LMC Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting the voices of the land and of the dead by weaving together history, ethnography, and spiritual experience. I'm your host, Kai Armand, and if you're tuning in online and having technical issues, remember that you can listen to the show by calling in via your phone or Skype to 657-383-0525. That's 657-383-0525. This is our 12th episode of On Sacred Ground, and today happens to be a pre-recorded show, airing on March 21st, 2015 at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. In this episode, we have special guest, artist and spiritual practitioner, Carolina Gonzalez of Camino de Yara, based in the Canary Islands. We'll be discussing the history of the Canary Islands, the form of curanderismo found there, and the tradition of Espiritismo María Leoncero that surrounds the figure María Leonza of Venezuela, amongst many others. But first, we'll be starting with a poem from our beloved book, Earth Prayers from Around the World, 365 Prayers, Poems, and Invocations for Honoring the Earth. And today's poem actually comes to us via Lou Welch, who writes, "Step out onto the planet. Draw a circle 100 feet round. Inside the circle are 300 things nobody understands, and maybe nobody's ever really seen. How many can you find?" We are so lucky to have guest Carolina Gonzalez of Camino de Yara, which can be found online at Camino, C-A-M-I-N-O, de Yara, D-E-Y-A-R-A, .indiemade.com. We're so glad, we're just so privileged to have her as a guest today. So we'll start with a few quick things. You are a woman of many, many talents. You are, if anyone who is a friend of yours on Facebook or follows you on Facebook knows that you're not only an incredible spirit worker who's bringing really, at least for those of us in America, really unique traditions to the forefront, but you're also an incredible artist. How long have you been drawing and painting?
First of all, thank you so much. I have been drawing, painting, and being a spiritual worker all my life. It all goes together, and there is no one without the other. My work as an artist is always spiritual, and my work as a spiritual worker is always an art.
So would you say that your art has almost always reflected your experience of the spirit world?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I have the painting work I do is mostly focused on spiritual figures in commission or because of my own interest. And I have a very strong relationship with doll making, which in many traditions of the diaspora, dolls are used as spiritual vessels. And I'm also very interested in textile arts because I think they hold something sacred, from spinning wool to embroidery or knitting, or the ability to create something almost out of thin air. It's an act of magic in itself.
As an artist myself, I completely agree with you, and I love the way in which you describe that process. And because you mentioned diaspora, I guess it's a great time to talk about where in the world you are. Where are you geographically?
I am in Tenerife, which is one of the 7 Canary Islands, which are located on the northwest coast of Africa. The Canary Islands were invaded by the Spanish in between the 15th and the 17th century. But before, it was inhabited by the Guanches, which are of Amazigh origin. Amazigh are, I'm going to use a word that I don't like, Berbers. But since not many people know what Amazigh are, I have to use this word, although I do not like it. The Guanches were invaded, as I said, and slaughtered and taken as slaves. And since then, the islands are part of Spanish territory. But geographically and by blood, we are Africans.
Interesting. So when did this conquering take place? When did the colonization of this land happen?
Between the 15th and the 17th century.
Okay.
And since then, there have been a constant traffic in and out of the islands, from the islands to the Caribbean. So we also have a very strong relationship with Latin America. We speak Spanish as Latin Americans, or as most Latin Americans. And my own family, for example, emigrated to Venezuela and Brazil, my mother's side of the family to Brazil, to work on emerald mines at the beginning of the 19th century. And my father's side, my grandfather, my father, and his brother and sister lived in Venezuela for many years because of the military state that was happening in Spain at the time. So we are connected to Africa and to Latin America, and I am so pleased and so happy about that because it makes our lives so rich.
It sounds incredibly rich because, you know, I live in the United States and I'm obviously, many people use the word melting pot to describe the United States. And I would not say that that is necessarily the most accurate term, but it actually sounds like you are in a very unique position to be connected to so many places in a very, it's not the same as over here, but I think because...
I understand what you mean. And yes, it is such a privilege to be at the same time a European, because we are Europeans by law, an African, and have such influence from Latin America. It has enriched our traditions greatly. And although the Canarian society is clearly losing all this knowledge, as it happens everywhere else, well, some of us still want to keep our traditions alive.
Of course.
And me and my husband and the people closest to us, because of our spiritual work, are all of us trying to put together the Guanche, which is the Aboriginal inhabitant, the last 500 years of Catholic Spanish curanderismo, and also our African roots, of course.
You mentioned before a term that you felt was a bit derogatory, the term Berber. Can you give some context to that term?
As far as I know, and I hope if someone has to correct me, because I am speaking from the Spanish translation, Berber is a derogative word that means like barbarian.
Gotcha.
And it's just as words like gypsy, for example, which has been used very wrongly. That's why I don't like it, and I prefer the real term, which is Amazigh.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure many of my listeners are aware of the conversation regarding the word gypsy, which in the past 20 years, at least in the United States, has become seen widely as derogatory. So this is important for us to also note that term
is
well.
The same in Spanish. The words gitano, which is gypsy, and bereber, which is Berber, are also used in a derogative and often very racist way. So I prefer to use Romani, for Gypsy and Amasik for Berber.
Now, you mentioned that you are African in heritage, and also very you're located very close to Africa. In fact, far closer to Africa than to Spain.
Yes, much farther. We are like 2,000 miles from Spain.
That's incredible.
Yes, it was invaded for military reasons because it's, let's say, the last door into the Atlantic before the Azores Islands. And it was a strategic point for ships and our many riches and our beautiful weather, I think, had some influence too.
Now, what's really incredible is that even though you're 2,000 miles from Europe, you're 16 miles from the coast of Africa.
Yes, the farthest island on the east is 14, 16 miles from the coast of Africa. And my island is in the middle of the group of islands, so I am a little farther. But yes, we are. We actually have African weather, African landscape, African animals, African plants. Everything around us is exactly as it is in the north, in the south of Sahara.
Okay, so this is making so much sense. As for anyone who goes to your website and looks at your not only your work but the documents you've produced, you've produced really incredible documents about wildcrafting herbs and botanicals where you are, and yeah, they're incredible, and the photos are phenomenal as well. And now, I'm loving that I'm making sense now of this. What you're bringing to the table here in terms of this, you have both Latin and African cosmologies within an African climate, and it's great. It's just something that it's really unique for those of us who, I'm sure for you, it's every day. You grew up here, but for the rest of us, we're just in awe.
Thank you. My relationship with plants is also a lifetime relationship. I have very dear memories of my grandfather and grandmother teaching me my first things about herbs like ipasote or aloe, and walking through the ravines, because we have a very complex geography too, because the islands are of volcanic origin. So they are like big cones and very steep ravines and very deep ravines, with a lot of endemic plants that only grow here and in very other few places in the world. And if you put that together with the tradition of curanderismo here, which is something that has also interested me since I was a child, well, there you have it, because there is no curanderismo without herbs. And right now, my husband and I not only wild harvest, but are working on planting the seeds we wild harvest to spread types of plants that are disappearing because of too much building houses and roads and civilization. And we have, in the past years, we have replanted about maybe 20 or 30 trees and herbs in areas that were losing vegetation very quickly. And it may not sound like much, but we're just two people, and we do what we can. And we also have a container garden on our roof terrace where we grow the herbs until they are big enough to be replanted. We also do some guerrilla gardening. You know what that is?
Yes, I do, yes.
Where you just throw seeds?
Yes. When you mentioned before doing, my mind said, guerrilla gardening, yes.
And it is also a way to honor our heritage in every way, and the uniqueness of our islands. Of course for medicine, and of course for magic. We use them all the time. In spells, in teas, I don't know, I have them every day of my everyday life. For me, it's again, it's no difference.
Well, and you mentioned before that you were planting trees, and I mean, you're doing far more than a lot of people are doing. So please continue doing that. You mentioned, you know, the uniqueness of these islands, and that's brought to mind something. Are you at all, would you say that there is a, that you're at all in touch with the spirit of the islands, the spirit of the Canary Islands? What would you, even if you have never necessarily spoken to them directly? Oh, you have? Okay.
Of course. The Wanche culture, sadly, was mostly erased. So we have very little. The Wanches didn't write. The words we have are from the Spanish, which you can trust them just so much. But we know a little about the cosmology of the Wanches and of the spirits they worshipped. And also we know from local traditions, because we understand that local traditions many times come from Wanche traditions. And anyway, I am not so interested in reconstructionism, because I want to look to the future. I mean, my ancestors are behind me, both the Wanches and the colonized ones. And all that is our identity, not only the Wanches. So we connect with the places and spirits of the places where we wild harvest, of the places where we leave offerings, of the sea, of the volcanoes, of everything. For me, there is absolutely nothing that doesn't have a spirit. And there is absolutely nothing that doesn't communicate with us. If you want to listen, it's just that. If you are listening, they will speak.
Doña María. Listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters, spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. This is the longest-running conjure show on the planet and may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burmeshave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Lucky Mojo Curio Company is based in sunny Forestville, California, and provides traditional spiritual products for remediating all kinds of conditions. Locate them online at luckymojo.com or visit them in person to see the world's smallest church, Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. We're back at On Sacred Ground. I'm your host, Kai Armand, and today is a pre-recorded show with guest interviewee Carolina Gonzalez of Camino de Yara, based in the Canary Islands. We'll be returning to that interview right now. So you mentioned that there are some records, of course, you know, the way in which colonizers write about the people they are colonizing is always a question, but there are some records regarding the Wanches and their cosmology. Can you speak to that a little bit?
The Wanches has many animist cultures worship what was around them. The sun, the moon, the sea, the water. And since Wanches did not travel practically at all between islands, every island has different traditions and different names for their spirits, but mostly they all worship the same elements and the elements of nature. They're depending on the island. Actually, I would like to say that Wanche, although now applies to the whole islands, the seven islands, before it meant only the inhabitants of my island, Tenerife, and each island had their own name for the aboriginal inhabitants, but now Wanche has become the name that comprises the whole seven islands. And, for example, in our island, which is what I know more, the sun was called Achaman. The sun was the most important god of the Wanches of Tenerife. The sea, the goddess of the sea, was called Chasirasi, which was later syncretized with Our Lady of Candelaria, which is now the patroness of the Canary Islands. And there were small cults to local spirits, but as I said, very, very little is known, because as it happens with colonization everywhere, they do not want us to know.
Of course.
There is absolutely no education at schools about Wanches. Publication of books are not promoted at all. And there is a lot of, interiorized racism?
Yes, of course.
I have to say that I have still to meet one Canarian that identifies as African, as I do. There is some reconstructionism, but as I said, I don't think that's the right way for us. I think that we must put together all our past, but look into the future. It makes no sense to me to dress myself in the skin of a goat, as a Wanche would have done, and to separate completely my, let's say, magical life from my, let's say, normal life.
Of course.
What I want to do is to live a life that it's a continuation of the life of my grandparents, for example. A life that comes together with the land, that comes together with the identity, with the past, with the traditions, but that it's looking to the future.
You mentioned the syncretism between the sea spirit and Our Lady of Candelaria. Do you work with Our Lady of Candelaria?
Yes, of course. Yes, it's... but For me, she's more chexy-dexy than Our Lady, I have to say, because I do not identify as Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And she is our mother spirit.
Of course, of the islands.
The mother of the Canarians. And yes, I have asked her for many favors, and she has been very gracious, I have to say. I love her very much.
I love what you mentioned about... you mentioned that so much has been erased regarding the history of the Wanches, and you are the only person that you know who identifies as African that you've ever met in the Canary Islands, but that you're trying to, in the process of your spirit work, in the process of your artwork, trying to sort of develop a new future moving forward, at least have a, you know, some influence on the future of the place where you currently live. What do you see being the future of where you currently live? Now, I'll tell you from my very small worldview, I think islands, oh no, global warming, will they be around? I mean, are these islands being threatened ecologically from global warming? That's one question I have. But
not from global warming, but from tourism.
Okay.
Because the construction to make hotels and staying places for tourism is atrocious. It's destroyed many of our coasts and destroyed many of our beaches and of our fishing places. And I wouldn't say we're, it sounds like a joke, but we're not threatened by global warming because this is hot as hell already.
Of course.
But yes, tourism is a big problem, and many of the sacred places of the Wanches have been completely desecrated. It's very sad, and you ask me how I see the future of this? Very bleak. Very, very bleak. Because people don't want to be Wanches here. People don't want to be Africans. They want to be Europeans. And theoretically, there is nothing wrong with being a part of Europe, but not to the cost of losing my own identity. So I am first a Wanche, second an African, and third a European.
Mm.
Because I don't see why we must lose our identity to have other identities. It's absolutely absurd to me. And I have a very young brother, so I am in touch with younger generations, and they know nothing about Wanche history. They have no interest. They have no connection. And it's very sad because they want to be something they're not.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, in the United States, the conversation of identity, I almost feel, looks similar. You know, many poets, writers, artists, you know, talk about, you know, who are of color, talk about the experience of coming to the United States with families who are very excited about sort of shedding any vestiges of their culture.
Yes.
And then, you know, sort of, we're going to try to, you know, get rid of this accent. We're going to stop eating that food. You know, it's sort of the classic story. But then so often their children, or at least, you know, their children's children, somewhere along the line, someone says, I feel a bereftment of sense of place. I don't feel like I belong. And it's not because I'm holding on to our traditions. It's because I don't know what they are, that those traditions are giving us a stronger sense of place than anything else. Whereas I think that a lot of what colonization does is not just at least when it comes to colonization and globalization today, I feel like so often it looks a lot less like you will adopt our traditions and more, how do we get rid of all traditions? How do we become traditionless, and it's like a tree without roots. And it sounds, you know, oh, so simple, so, you know, old world wisdom. But really, the way that this affects any individual's psyche is profound.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I have to say that my experience reconnecting with my curanderismo tradition, with the knowledge of the Wanches, with the life of my grandparents, has given me a benefit that I just cannot, I don't have words in English to describe it, to describe the peace of mind, the strength, the happiness it brings. And it can be completely integrated in modern life. People are always, you know, I live in a very small place, but internet is very big. And since most of my customers are from the U.S., I read a lot of newspapers and, you know, I know what's happening in the U.S. And I see all this, for example, obsession about diets or obsession about healthy food. Healthy food is the food your grandmother ate. It's just as simple.
Of course. This is so true. We make a very, very big deal of the next superfood.
Yes, and the things are completely, that to me, look like alien stuff. It's so simple to be connected to what's around you, to what's behind you, so you can move forward. I think that we, as a whole, the whole people in the islands, we're lost. It's just as you said. All traditions have been removed. Traditions that are not ours, like Halloween U.S. style, are starting to happen here. When we have traditions for the Day of the Dead, and our own traditions are completely forgotten, as if they never existed. And people are adopting traditions that they don't understand. I have absolutely nothing against Halloween, but it's...
It's such a... What a strange export. That's a very strange tradition to be exported. I mean, you know, Americans love Halloween, but it's just the idea of it being sort of just...
And I would love Halloween if I lived there. And I would participate because I think it's a wonderful idea, but it's not part of us. It's just that.
No, to me, it's a very American holiday. And it's interesting when you say that we are kind of dumbfounded when it comes to so many things that are so simple if we simply look to the past. And it reminds me about a lot of things I've read about Western civilization's false notions of progress, that Western civilization always believes that we're moving forward in this linear way, and the quicker we get away from yesterday, the better. There's even a very famous ad when it comes to looking at Western notions of progress. It was a television commercial, and it showed an African woman running, and a car, like a Toyota or other very modern car, that goes zooming past her. Now, not only is that absurdly racist on so many levels, but also just this, you know, it's really something that's so intrinsic. It's so hammered into our brains that realizing that, wow, every moment of my life, everywhere I look, I am entrenched in a conversation that is around a possibly false notion of progress, and that everything that's happening around me, all of the money that's going toward technological pursuits, are all in favor of this belief. But if this notion of progress isn't true, then we might be wasting a lot of time. Absolutely. And a lot of resources.
I couldn't agree more. And the thing is, it's what makes it more sad to me is that technology is actually wonderful. technology has given us medicine. Technology has given us a longer life. But when it's used to deny the past, when it's used as a weapon, then technology is no help. And it is stupid that we're misusing something that could give us justice, that could give us food and water to everyone, that could give us peace. And it is used exactly the other way. I mean, it would be so easy now that there is internet for Canarians to connect and share and put together the knowledge of the Wanches, for example. And it's not happening. Because people are using internet to play games on Facebook.
And you can't forget about cute cats. Cute cats take up a lot of time. Very cute cats on Facebook.
Or cute cats, myself.
Why don't we see any pictures of them? I've never seen any pictures of these cats on your Facebook page.
Because I'm too busy.
There are spirit workers and artists who make time to show us their cats, and you might find it makes a big difference. So you've mentioned the Canary Island tradition of curanderismo. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yes, of course. The tradition has obviously three main elements. One is the Wanche traditions, mostly of herbalism. Two, the Catholic tradition in the past 500 years. And third, the influence of Latin America in the past 500 years, because the process of immigration and immigration both have been happening for five centuries. The tradition of curanderismo is actually very simple and similar to other healing traditions in many other places in the world. It is focused on herbal treatments, prayer, and what we would call spiritual work. It blends for me perfectly with my work as a part of the María Lionza religion, because there are no contradictions between one and the other. What we do is healing the soul, healing the body, healing in an integral way. Sorry, it's a bit difficult to say this in English. When someone is sick, we believe that sickness of the body can come from the spirit, and sickness of the spirit can come from the body. So the tradition is what you would call holistic.
Of course. And then when you are someone who is, as you mentioned before, we've been talking about identity, we've been talking about syncretization, how all of these end up melding into one person and one practice and one being, that, you know, you carve off the rough edges and then you have what works for you. Now, you mentioned María Lionza, and now we are, you know, backtracking wonderfully to how does a tradition thousands of miles away, Espiritismo María Lioncero, become so important where you are. Now, is it important where you are, or are you one of the only practitioners in the Canary Islands?
Not at all. There are plenty of practitioners in the whole islands, and actually Venezuela is called here the eighth Canary Island, because of the amount of Canarians that live there and the amount of Venezuelans that live here. As I said, the emigration and immigration from between the Canary Islands and Venezuela and other Latin countries like Cuba and Brazil has been constant. And for those 500 years, that makes a lot of blending of traditions possible. And here, I would say that maybe, I don't know, 5 or 10% of the population was born in Latin America and lives here now. And just as my grandfather went there when there was no jobs in Spain, they come here and for the same reasons. So, no, I am not the only practitioner of Espiritismo María Leoncero here. I do not belong to any community now, but there are several. And I'm sure there are more that I don't know because I actually have a very monastic life. And I try to be as disconnected from society as I can. But I practice with my husband and some people in my family and friends. And so María Leoncera is something everyone knows, and other spirits who are very known in the tradition, like José Gregorio Hernández, the chief of the medical court, everyone knows him here. And actually, his mother was Canarian.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So the relationship is of love and history, heritage. It's just as part of my culture as curanderismo is.
So I want to head in the direction of María Leoncera and that tradition. But one thing I'm curious about, if you're okay speaking about it, what led you to want to live more of a monastic life?
Well, exactly what we were speaking about 10 minutes ago. I have no interest in running forward so fast. And I want to live my life the way I want to. That's it. There are no more. That's enough reason that I do not... I am not anti-technology, as I said, but... I cannot say I'm happy with the way this country is being led and our islands are being led. And it's something I do not feel like participating much. And also because the life of a spiritual worker, it's a terribly busy one.
Is it ever?
I mean, people have the time to have a social life, to go out to the cinema, too. I don't. If I am not working for my customers, I am working for the spirits, or I am working for my own enlightenment. I mean, I am busy doing what I love to do, and I don't have the time for the rest. It's just simple as that. I'm not antisocial, but I am not interested in what our society has to offer right now.
You know, I've been collecting quotes from various guests just because sometimes we just hit such a poignant moment in these shows. And you said, I have no interest in running forward so fast. That just really sat with me very powerfully. So thank you so much for all of the insight that you're giving into our world at large and in through the microcosm of where you are living right now, because even though you're living in a very unique location that might not get too much worldwide attention, everything you're saying, I know that everyone around the world who listens to this show is connecting to and saying, that's happening where I'm living, and that's an issue with the youth where I'm living. And so it's just amazing that no matter where we are in the world, the same conversation is happening and has been happening for a very long time. Now, you mentioned Dr. José Gregorio Hernández, who's mm-hmm. the head of the medical court in Espiritismo María Leoncero.
Yes.
Can we give a bit of background to María Leoncera and the tradition that surrounds her?
Yes, of course. The religion of María Leoncera is born in Venezuela, and it's a form of indigenous shamanic traditions. The Catholic influence and of colonization, and in later years, because it's a very young religion that has maybe 150 years old, more or less. Also, in the past 20, 30 years, the influence of other religions from the diaspora, like Santeria and Palo Mayombe and others, depending on the area. And it is spiritism, basically, very similar to what Allan Kardec preached or talked.
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually work with deities. We work with spirits all the time. Spirits are organized in 21 courts, although, of course, this is just, let's say, the traditional way to see it. But what it really means is that spirits work together by bounds of race, bounds of profession, bounds of origin. As, for example, spirits from Asia, spirits from Africa, spirits from, or the medical corps, for example, who are doctors and healers only. Spirits can be in more than one court at a time because, just as a human living person can do many different things, so can a spirit. And the spirits that command them all and that we take as the most important are the Tres Potencias, which are Maria Leonza, who in origin was believed to be an Indian princess, a Venezuelan Indian, Huaycaipuro, which is also an Indian chief who fought the Spanish terribly during his lifetime, and Negro Felipe, which was believed to be an African prince who was taken as a slave to Venezuela and who fought for the liberation of Venezuela and the removal of the Spanish.
And so these are the three individuals. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever seen a Tres Potencias statue, but I know that in the Botanica near where I live, the three busts are together, of Maria Leonza, Negro Felipe, and I'm sorry, could you mention the other Tres Potencias name again?
Huaycaipuro.
Huaycaipuro.
He's the Indian chief.
Yes, and these busts have stood out to me for quite a long time. There's something, the vibrancy and beauty of this tradition is something that is very visceral. The moment you just see any artwork associated with it, you know, we're talking about something that's very, very much alive. You mentioned you mentioned the medical court. What are some of the other courts?
As I said, traditionally there are 21, but the truth is that there are infinite spirit courts, because a spirit court only means a group of spirits that work together. For example, one of the spirit courts that we work with is the Guanche court, my Guanche ancestors. But that only applies to Canarians who have Guanche ancestors. And so any group of spirits could be a court. There is, of course, the Indian court, which is the spirits of shamans and chiefs of indigenous Venezuelan islands, the court of the saints, angels, advocations of Mary, and all figures of Catholic origin. There is an Arab court, there is an Asian court, there is a court specifically for the Orishas in some traditions, in some not. There is a court for African spirits. And there is something I would like to say. We don't have a central church or a central hierarchy. It is what is called a horizontal religion, which means that it's built by communities who have all the same power. So difference in tradition can be big. because one group is used to do things one way and another group is used to do things other way. And it also depends with any other religion that the practitioner has, because we are allowed, many practitioners of María Alianza religions are also santeros or mayomberos or practitioners of Umbanda and Kimbanda, voodoo, depending on where they live and what is their origin and tradition.
I'm glad you mentioned Kimbanda, because Kimbanda is actually the way I understand spiritual courts. Because when I first encountered Tres Potencias Venezolanas and Espiritismo María Leoncero, and I said, these courts, what are these courts? And then I realized that in the Brazilian tradition of Kimbanda, you have lines. And these lines are, you know, many of the spirits in the tradition are sort of organized into lines that represent cultural memory that has sort of passed through Brazilian tradition. Yeah, that it totally makes sense. And Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez, most likely more than any other individuals in the tradition, I mean, just sort of, he has been very popular in the United States for a very long time.
Yes, also here, because he is so kind and so generous and works so wonderfully. I have nothing but love words to say of him. It's one of the spirits we work most with because of the fact that we do work for others. And I could tell you some miracles that have happened to my customers after working with him. He never has a no, and he's so humble and so hardworking. It's a dream for any spirit worker to work with him.
I agree entirely. Now, for those of you who may be listening to the show and have never heard of the spirit Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez, this was a Venezuelan doctor who also spent a lot of time studying toward the priesthood, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And he's often called upon not only by medical students who are seeking to ensure success in their studies and in their endeavors, but by individuals who are seeking a diagnosis. You most likely work with him more. What would you add to that list of attributes?
Direct healing. He worked a lot for free for the poor. And he worked a lot. And here he is also asked for healing directly, along with other spirits or along with the whole medical corps, so that work has more power. But yes, not only for passing exams or diagnosis, but for active, real, direct healing. And we have had, I tell you, miraculous healings happen to our customers.
Well, if you're willing to share a story, I would love to hear one.
A customer, let's say around 50 years old, female, with an unbalanced hip for all her life, asked for healing, not mentioning that detail. And the following morning, her hips were aligned. His chiropractor, I'm sorry, I don't know if it works.
Yes, chiropractor, yes.
Chiropractor couldn't believe it. Women who couldn't get pregnant. We've had some very miraculous pregnancies. And with very healthy babies and very healthy deliveries. And you're catching me a bit of...
These are beautiful. I mean, that's...
Oh, and one very special psychiatric patient. Her husband was very sick with schizophrenia, and she was in a very dangerous situation because of him. we made a healing service for him. And in one night, he recovered enough to, let's say, go back to being understanding and calm enough to discuss what he had to discuss with his wife and stop the dangerous situation at once.
What would you suggest for individuals who might be listening to the show, if they were interested in petitioning and working with Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez?
Just to petition him. I mean, there is, although I am not, the Maria Leonza religion requires initiation and requires constant and very personal contact with the person who's teaching you. So I wouldn't say that anyone can become a Maria Leoncero just because they say so.
Mm.
And here we are, you know, getting to the topic of cultural appropriation. But I do believe that spirits are there to help, that spirits are there to guide, and that if you need them, you have to ask them. It sounds almost stupid, but people make this so much more complicated than it really is. If you feel drawn to a spirit, start the conversation and wait. If there is an answer, you will hear it. If there isn't an answer, start the conversation again, trying to see what you could have done wrong, if anything, and wait again until they answer. I mean, faith is the requirement. And that is what I think that the training in the diaspora religion really means, that you are not taught to have faith. You have to be taught on what faith is and how to have it and how to relate with spirits. But in truth, it's the simplest thing of all. It's love. So if you want to ask Jose Gregorio Hernandez for a favor, go and do it. And thank him the best way you can.
And I also, I think patience is also a really healthy part of this conversation. Because starting that conversation and then waiting, during our last episode, we were met by special guest Conjure Man Ali, who was discussing the jinn tradition, and his belief, and that we hear it all the time, but sometimes we forget it, that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
I agree with that.
Now, I did not know that Espiritismo León...
And I would like to add that teachers can be in this world and in the world of spirits.
Thank you so much for saying that. I agree with you entirely. Thank you so much for saying that. Now, I did not know that Espiritismo María Leoncero was an initiatory tradition.
It is.
Now, is this something that is... Do people travel to Venezuela to be initiated into it? Or are there local, regional groups?
Here they are.
Okay.
I mean, it is understood that, for example, flying from here to Venezuela is tremendously expensive. And sadly, right now, what I hear from Venezuela is that they're appearing a lot of scam priests and scam communities just trying to make money out of tourists and out of people that really do not understand the social and political problems that Venezuela is going through, which are a lot. And unless you are particularly chosen by the spirits, which is not impossible, but it's very, very rare, you should be taught by other practitioners. I was very lucky to have two teachers One was Santero and Maria Leoncero, and the other was Santera woman. And they taught me a lot because not only they were teachers, they were very close friends. And the most difficult step between a student and a teacher is to develop trust. But if the teacher is one of your best friends, trust is already there, so it makes everything much more easier. And I didn't choose to be a Maria Leoncero. Guay Caipuro chose me. Guay Caipuro told my friend that he should initiate me. And it wasn't something I was planning or that I chose, which is something that I often, something that I think, it's very difficult, sorry.
No worries.
I find that people think that they can choose, and I don't think so. I think that you are chosen. And it's your work to be up to the task or up to the challenge when you are chosen. So when my friend said, Guay Caipuro wants you, I said, okay. And he taught me the basic procedures. But in fact, it's so similar to many other traditions in the diaspora. It's deeply influenced by Santeria and by Palo and by Kimbanda. And I am sure that if we could work together, you and I, we'd be using the same stuff for the same means.
Totally.
The same process, because it's just spirit work. Mediumship and trance are very important. And for someone who hasn't experienced a Maria Leonza ritual, I would say that it's something very similar to voodoo rituals or to Santeria rituals, where the spirits come down to you to heal, to talk, to advise, and to perform healing mostly, healing spiritual and physical. And
though I have to say, there is an element as well of, and much like that found in both of Odu and Santeria, of a bit of spirit showmanship, because I've seen some images of the Viking court.
Yes.
In the Venezuelan tradition.
Actually, there is a lot of polemics about that, because not everyone agrees with the fact that the Viking court asks you to cut yourself. Many of us believe that those are actually very unevolved spirits. The biggest problem with any form of spiritism is what we call spirit impersonation.
Of course.
When the practitioner doesn't have the knowledge, the experience, the training, how the hell are you going to know if that spirit is who they say they are? It's impossible. When you are not trained enough, when you are not powerful enough. And that is the problem with people practicing these religions or these traditions on their own. That's why this is practiced always in community. There is no solitary Maria Leoncero, because you cannot do everything at once. You cannot be the medium. You cannot be the director of the ritual. You cannot be the patient all at the same time. It's impossible.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all of this insight that you're giving. I'm curious as to, now, I have two questions. Guay Caipuro, would you say that you have a special relationship with him?
Of course.
Okay.
He's my father.
Yeah. Because there's this element of him having chosen you to step forward.
Relationship that, for example, a Santeria practitioner have with their potencia.
Okay, absolutely.
Yes, of course. We are similar in character. And it's a question of affinity, because he saw in me what something that he liked, I guess. And actually, my best magical work is the work of the warrior, as in, for example, hex breaking or protection or removal of curses. And I think that has a lot to do with Waikai Pura being a warrior.
Mm. The other question I have for you is the relationship you were talking before about Venezuela being, actually, this brings in the conversation of the warrior as well, and magical warriorship, which is something that we seem to come back to on this show time and time again. I think that's because the spirits that kind of headed this show happening are warrior spirits. So I think that's why we end up at this conversation fairly often.
Of course, our paths are always crossing.
What would you say is, do you see any connection between spirit work and Espiritismo María Leoncero and some of the political upheaval in Venezuela? I know that might be a rather broad question.
Well, of course, because as many other religions in the world, it has been born of the frustration of the poor and of the unfairness of their situation. Spirit, I mean, that is something I can totally relate to, because I don't come from a rich family. I've had to work my way alone. I live in the poorest community of Spain with the highest unemployment rate of all Spain. And when life is not easy, you need someone's help.
Of course.
It's just simple as that. I would continue to be a María Leoncero if I won the lottery, of course. And I would be doing good for others much more than I am allowed to do now. But yes, of course, there is a relationship between the situation of Venezuela and María Leoncerismo. Yes, you are very, very right. I don't want to speak for Venezuelans about their political and social situation, because I think it is not my position to do so, and that maybe you should find someone from Venezuela who has the right about and the knowledge to talk about that. But Venezuela has been struggling for centuries, and again, we go back to the topic of colonization, of how much progress and the alleged democracy and future have destroyed Latin America, not only Venezuela. This is a problem of many countries in Latin America.
You're absolutely right. And this is, you're right. It so comes whenever I look, because I'm personally obsessed with the connection between spirit work and politics. No matter what things look like moving forward, the ground of it always is this experience of warriorship in the face of seemingly overwhelming odds, yes. Destructive odds from outside the community, or upon a community. When we look at hoodoo root work, we see African Americans struggling in a discriminatory culture to live, struggling to live and to survive and needing to have the upper hand. You're right.
I can tell you, the requests of my customers are very mundane requests of that kind. I mean, I'm struggling and I need help. Maybe 10% of my work has to do with spiritual stuff. Completely spiritual, like spiritual development or mediumship development. 90% of my time, I am dealing with child custodies, trials, illness, unemployment, unhappiness, depression, and
of course,
and everyday life stuff.
Things that are so related to community and social
and
welfare,
to the socioeconomic and political situation, of course, as you said.
Of course. Well, this has been such a wonderful interview. Thank you so much for joining me on this show and for taking the time out of your day to help myself and my audience get a glimpse into the region of the world that you live in and how it intersects with so many other regions of the world.
Yes.
For those of you who are listening, this has been Carolina Gonzalez, who you can find at Camino de Yara at indiemade.com. That's Camino, C-A-M-I-N-O, D-E-Y-A-R-A dot indiemade, I-N-D-I-E, M-A-D-E.com. And before we go, Carolina, is there anything that we should be sort of expecting from you this year or looking forward? Is there any special projects that you have coming up?
Well, this year I'm focusing a lot on painting, and I feel that it's a time in my life to leave behind, let's say, smaller areas of other crafts and arts that I've been making, because I like to do a bit of everything, and focus more on my painting and illustration work. That's something that I started last year, and that I want to do even more work right now. I am actually taking commissions and for mostly spiritual art, as in painting people's patron saint or orishas or whatever they want.
That was just what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if you take commissions, because again, if anyone heads over to your Facebook page and sees the work that you do, it's truly beautiful. So you can expect definitely to be hearing from me before this year is out regarding an artistic commission. Thank you so much once again for being here. And I look forward to having you again soon.
Of course. I would love to.
Wonderful. You have a wonderful rest of your day. And for those of you who have been listening, this has been another episode of On Sacred Ground on the LMC Radio Network. Please do keep a light lit in your window for courage in our times. I'll be keeping a light burning in mine. Someone is friendless and cannot find their way, so I